because Jesus asks us to. He says, this is what I want you to do. In the Bible, we see a very close connection between a profession of faith and then baptism. And like in the Great Commission, Jesus says, therefore go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, that baptism is an expected part of the Christian faith. And this is what Jesus asked us to do as a public profession of our faith. So does baptism save you? No, it's your faith that saves you. But you get baptized because of that faith that you have. A great analogy. Here's an analogy I've used in the past, but I think it explains for us. It's kind of like a wedding ring, right? Just like a wedding ring. This ring I'm wearing here, I'm not going to take it off. I probably could have, but it's kind of tight. What happened? It shrunk. My ring shrunk. What happened? We had 15 pounds of bacon there yesterday. That was probably part of it. We did. So this wedding ring does not make me married, right? It's not like if I put this ring on my finger, like, okay, now I'm married because I have this ring on my finger. That's not how it works. Also, if I pull this ring off my finger, does that make me all of a sudden I'm not married? No, I'm still married, right? What is the ring? What's the point of it? Why do I wear this ring? Because Val wants me to wear this ring, all right? I wear this ring for my wife. This ring is a public proclamation of the commitment I made to my wife. I'm just telling everybody about the commitment I made to my wife, all right? Same thing with baptism. Why do we get baptized? Because Jesus asked us to do it as a public proclamation of the faith that we have. We get it? So it's very important. Is it necessary, like, you got to do it to get in heaven? No, but it's very important because Jesus asked us to let everybody know about your faith, your commitment that you've given to him, all right? So that's what we're doing today. We have three people being baptized today, and I'm so excited. This is something we as a family of God need to get together and celebrate our brothers and sisters as they get baptized today. So I'm going to call them up one at a time. They're going to come up and just kind of share a little bit about what God's done in their life. And then one at a time, and then we'll do the baptisms. So with that, I'm going to invite Sherry to come up first. Sherry, come on. Give her a hand as she comes forward. It's scary sometimes. It's hard to do this. So.
Hello, everybody. My name is Sherry. And for the grace of God, I stand before him in his presence. For those of you who don't know me, I'm an only child. My mother raised me in the church, so I was always of service, so it wasn't that I didn't know about God or what his purpose was in our lives. But, you know, as we grow up and we get older and we start doing life-changing things, we tend to get away from that. And my mother died when I was 19 years old and pregnant with my first child. And she was my life, so with that, I got angry with God, and I walked away, and he no longer could be a part of my life because he took something so special from me. And it took me 10 years of hard drugs and everything else, and I got back and woke up one day, and I said, okay, it's me and you again against the world. And I got into treatment, and today I'm 19 years sober. And by the grace of God, he saved me from a whole lot of things out there in the street. Unfortunately, relapse doesn't always mean that you relapse in your with drugs. Relapse, we can relapse in our minds. And unfortunately, I did that and got myself in a little trouble, which some of you guys have been praying for me, and thank you so much, because I wouldn't be here without that. In my process, I've had a chance for God to put me at rest and sit me down quietly and talk to me. And in that, I've learned a lot about who I am, what my purpose is today, and how I'm supposed to serve him. So I'm gonna share with you guys some scriptures that have been a stepping stone for me. It's just a few of many that I've learned and worshiped on and gathered myself together on. The first one is Romans 8, where he tells me how I don't walk in the flesh anymore. I now walk in the spirit, that I no longer have to do those things that my body creates, that I, as long as I live in him, then he'll guide me. Job 22:21-30, he tells me that I am cleansed, and he gives me the power, and he is my father. Isaiah 61 tells me, because I abide in him, I can ask for anything and expect it as if it has already been given. And in Mark 4, it's the pathway that we've all, what I know that I've taken, but all of us have taken along the way, and it tells us how, where those forks in the roads come when we make a decision to turn our lives to God. And John, 1 John 4:1-4, in doing that, I have the right to test the spirits, because the devil, he works in the spirit realm as well. And he can make things look like it's a good thing, because he deals with us in our future and our present, because that's the only place he can get us. And so he makes us feel guilty or mad or angry, and then that gives us a reaction to act in our present. And so we have to fight him off. And then Psalms 51 tells me that I'm totally forgiven for everything. Everything. And then Acts 16:18-36 tells me that, as Pastor said, we don't have to be baptized to be part of God, that he tells us as long as we abide in him, we are baptized. But my commitment to this baptism is that it is my commitment to God and before all of you people that I'm committed, recommitting myself to the Lord. That's it. Thank you.
All right, next up, we're going to invite up Josue. Josue, come on forward. I'm going to go up a little bit with this.
Hey, how's everybody doing? We're going to start off. Well, since I was a kid, I've always had problems with poverty and, you know, I guess questioning God. My parents always took me to church. They were, they're total churchgoers, and, you know, they're full Christian. They believe in God, and basically they've gone out their way to help others, which back in the day I would think of it as a waste of their time, a waste of their money, a waste of just everything, because the way they would help would basically affect us at home. And we would go to church, and my parents would make friends and, you know, be familiar with all those back in the day that I would call so-called Christians. Because, excuse my vulgarity, but there was a constant pattern of my parents getting close to them, helping them out, and then screwing us over. So it affected us while they benefited from it. So from about a young age, I wouldn't much so call it sacrilegious, but I would call it a huge, huge, like, stepping way far from God. And so I would, when people would come up to me and try and witness to me about God, Christianity, I would just brush them off, and sometimes for fun, I would, like, I guess, mess with them, such as, like, they would tell me, oh, God's coming soon, or God, if you bring all your problems to God, and all this, I would tell them, why would you believe in something you can't see, and, you know, like, why wouldn't you do it on your own? What's the point in having a non-existent, I guess, being and putting all your problems to him when... And I would just consider them weak. Weak-minded, and just that they couldn't handle their problems on their own, so they would have to believe in something that really wasn't there. And I can tell my parents right now are a lot proud that I'm here, because I wouldn't... I respect them, so I wouldn't go all out as I would to others. But when they would tell me to believe in God, I would tell them why. Because he put us in finance. We went through financial situations where the situation got went from bad to worse, and we practically hit rock bottom. And I would always tell them, where's God? You know, where is he? Where's this so-called help you told me he would, you know, come forth? But then I soon came to realize he has to humble you before he brings you up. He has to bring you to the, all the way to the bottom to test your faith, and he has to show you that, you know, you have to truly believe in him to really get his help, because he loves you, but he also wants to humble you, and he will put you through situations where you think he's not there, but in reality, he really is there, because the situation could get a lot more worse. So, I would just recently, this has been going on since I was a kid, so probably around 10. Just imagine a 10-year-old kid walking around questioning God. People would tell me, like, oh, you know. And when my parents would take me to church, I don't do this anymore, but I would literally look around and assume everyone was a hypocrite. I was like everybody else who would say, oh, you're Christian, and, you know, you say you're Christian, you believe in God, and you don't sin, and, you know, I was just one of those people that I would assume that Christians were so-called perfect and wouldn't fall off or go a different pathway. But obviously nobody's perfect, which I've came to realize, and people try their hardest to believe in God, and you may fall off, but God brings you back. And that's why just recently I would privately to myself, I would pray to God, and I would find out that I found peace. My mind was at ease, my soul was calm, and everything just came a lot more easier. And it was a constant pattern where if I chose something over God, he would, in a sense, get me back. And so he would give me the spanking I guess I deserved. And so I just came to realize that there is a God, and he does love me. And he brought me through all of that just to bring me here where I am today. So I just like to thank God for everything he's done, regardless if it was bad, good, you know, if I even questioned him. I just like to ask him for his forgiveness, because that just, in a way, it disgusts me to think of me thinking that way.
All right, third person we're going to call up, final one, is Junior. Give him a hand as he comes forward.
Hello, I'm Junior. Basically, when I was younger, I would go to church. But, like, every time I went, I was like, okay, I believe in Jesus, and, like, not care. I'd be like, okay, no big deal. But then when I started, like, getting older, like, I would see, like, my family in trouble or whatever, and I just would say, okay, God is going to do something, but I wouldn't pray. So I thought it was just going to happen. And one day my mom got really sick, and I just, you know, I started praying, and then like a day passed, and she got better, and I was like, whoa, I've never prayed before, and like, I expect something to happen. So when I prayed, I was like, man, it's, you know, it's, he's working, so it's true. And once I met these guys, one of my friends introduced me to them, and you know, like, one of the things I've learned from the Bible is Galatians 6, verse 7, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked, what a man reaps is what he sows. And basically, now that I see is that if I make bad decisions, I'm not going to, you know, get something good in the future. So I have to make good decisions and, you know, like, get it, like, get good things to happen to me in the future. So that's really awesome. And yesterday, like, just kept, you know, they invited me to the conference, and, you know, I was going to be like, man, you know, at first I was thinking about it, and then I was like, all right, I'm going to go see how it's like. And I just couldn't believe, you know, some of the things they were saying was awesome. I really like, this is what they kept talking about, Corinthians 16, 13, 14, just be strong, stand firm in faith, everything you do, do in love, and that really spoke out to me, and I just, you know, I think it's really true. God works every time. And actually, yesterday when we were there, this college guest speaker went to our school. He's from Arizona. And when we went, I saw him there, and I remembered his name, and he was like, oh, dang, I remember your face. And I was just like, what are the chances of him being here out of all the places he could have been? And I just was like, man, God is working. Like, and that's the school I actually want to go to, so, you know, that's a big deal for me. So, yeah, I really like to thank him, and just going to keep doing good.
We're going to disappear for a moment, and then you're going to see us reappear right up there.
Amen, amen. Used to sing an old song when I was growing up. Just said, ain't it a wonder about Jesus? Ain't it a wonder about Jesus? Ain't it a wonder about Jesus? He's a wonder in my soul. Let's sing that. Oh, ain't it a wonder about Jesus? Ain't it a wonder about Jesus? Ain't it a wonder about Jesus? He's a wonder in my soul. Isn't God good this morning? Amen. Let's just celebrate. Let's celebrate and clap. So for those of you coming like, so is Pastor Tom and Pastor Terry going to preach? Nope. You guys heard 3 sermons this morning. And they were fantastic. God is good. So listen, if you're sitting there and you're like, you know what, I want to do this. I want to step out and make that that proclamation, declaration to and for God, let Pastor Tom and I know, and you can be included in our next baptism. Again, we don't do it to get you saved, but saved people get baptized out of response and in obedience to Jesus Christ. So this morning, as we get ready to conclude this part of our worship service this morning, we thought it would be fitting that we would celebrate and remember Christ this morning in the sacrament of communion. What a fitting day as we've heard three testimonies and three people bear witness to the work that Jesus has done in their lives. Three people proclaiming that God loves him and that they know that God loves him. And the Bible tells us that God demonstrates his love for us in Romans 5:8, that Christ died for us. That while we were yet in sin, while we were powerless, while we were running away from God and not toward God, Christ died for us to prove and to show, to establish his love for us. And he did that by dying, by giving himself, by sacrificing his body, by sacrificing and having him allow himself to be poured out for our behalf. And this morning, we want to give thanks. And we want to remember that. Jesus said at the Last Supper with his disciples that as often as you come together, remember me, remember what I've done, remember the passion that I've had, remember the promises that I've made, remember that I was broken so that you could be healed, remember that I died so that you can, hallelujah, remember that I died so that you could live, remember that I gave up everything, I gave up my glory that you might be glorified and become heirs and sons and daughters. Remember that I brought you out of darkness into marvelous light. So this morning, we're going to remember Christ. We're going to remember, he says, when you take the bread, he says, this bread represents my body, which has been broken, which has been crushed, which has been bruised. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we're healed, that I was broken, that you might be made whole. And he said, when you take the cup, remember that this cup is a new covenant, the new promise that I've sealed with my own blood, that not only are you forgiven, but I've given you new life in such a way that I transform your once hard, cold heart and have given you a heart of flesh, so that now not only are you forgiven, you are able to live the life that I've called you to live, because I'm not just going to be with you and around you. I'm going to be in you, empowering, enabling, guiding you to live. That's the new covenant promise, that we don't have to go at life our own trying to figure things out, but God gives us his spirit and his grace to live. Amen? So this morning, we invite you, and we're going to sing a couple of songs. We invite you to come up as you see fit. You don't have to come up right away, but come up and celebrate and partake in the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that this morning we get to remember you. We remember how you sacrificed. Remember how you gave of yourself, that you did this freely and willingly so that we might enter into eternal life. Not just life to come, but that we might experience a new quality of life right now. So, Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that you love us and that your love never fails, that your love sustains us. Your love empowers us. Now, God, I pray that as we take and partake of this communion, God, that you would remain with us and that you would encourage us and strengthen us to keep going and keep looking to you. We love you. Thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, look, if you haven't given Jesus your life, if you haven't surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we're going to ask you to abstain from communion at this time, as this is something that is for believers and those who have trusted God. The Bible says we don't want to take of it unworthily. And so to do so and not be under submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ would be damaging to your life. So if you haven't trusted Jesus with your life, then we're going to ask you to abstain. And if you want to trust Jesus with your life today, that's even wonderful. And the table is open for you. So feel free to come. Come as you please as we sing and worship.
Remind you before you go, one offering box. We don't pass offering here, so if God's put it on your heart to give and prepare, or you came prepared to give, where it goes, there's a black box and a stand, an offering box and a stand. It goes in at the top of that box. So you can slide that in there on your way out if that's something you feel led to do. Secondly, this coming Saturday is our Bless the Flock event. So plan on coming out Saturday at 10 o'clock right here at the church. It's a way to be a blessing to the community. And then finally, these just appeared. Oh, someone brought these. I don't know. They just appeared up on the front, on the podium up here. So if anybody could use a free pizza for four age kids 14 and younger, it's a coupon for free pizza from Shakey's. So as a back to school special. So anyways, if you want to get a coupon for free pizza, they're gonna be up here as well. God bless you all. Thanks for being here today. Wasn't it awesome? I thought it was awesome.
Thank you.